Open our hearts and minds, O God, to see you coming in the distance, to recognize your voice, to follow you on the way. Advent showed us your determination to reach us, to the point where you break into our lives and shake us from the routines that have become a trap for us. Inspire us to come and see the new things that you are doing in the world around us. Guide us to share of ourselves, to be co-creators of a world yet unfinished. This we pray in the name of the one who calls us by name, the Messiah, the Anointed. Amen. Come and see. An invitation, a simple invitation, into something life-changing, world-changing. These are some of the first words used by a man little known to the people at this point, and yet one whose coming had been shouted from the River Jordan long before he stepped foot in those waters. Now, they were not the first words that he uttered in the Gospel of John. No, the first words that he speaks are these. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? The first two who are following Jesus are confronted with this question just moments after John the Baptist shouts, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." What are you looking for? This man comes to be called Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of God. What are you looking for? Now, their answer was just another question, probably because they weren't expecting the one that would be Jesus asked in the first place. And they asked, "Where are you staying?" To which he replied with a simple invitation, "Come and see." But what if it was you? What if it was you leaving the side of John the Baptist? Not today, but in those days. What if it was you who Jesus turned on and asked, "What are you looking for?" How would you have answered? Would you have quickly gotten to the love that we got there from the children? Maybe it's hard to imagine yourself in those days as one of those disciples. So what if it was today? What if he walked by you on the sidewalk, sat next to you on the bus, or shared the aisle seats on a plane? Something inside of you just shouts out, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And let's be honest, you can't help but stare because you've never seen the Lamb of God. You've just seen pictures. But there he is, right in front of you. Now, before long, he noticed that you're staring. And he asks, "What are you looking for?" So what are you looking for? Are you looking for hope? Are you looking for peace? Are you looking for meaning? Are you looking for light because your life is filled with darkness? Are you looking for an excuse to change the path you're on because it is life draining instead of life giving? Are you even looking at all? Or have you given up? To all of these and so many more responses, Jesus answers with the same words that he offered to the disciples, asking where he was staying. Looking for hope, peace, and meaning? Come and see. Looking for light, a reason, an answer? Come and see. Are you looking for life, for new life, when all around us has stagnated? Come and see. All of this happens in the first few minutes of Christ stepping onto the scene because he knows what the disciples are really looking for, and it's not where he's staying. He knows that deep down, we're all seeking a way to better ourselves and our world. Deep down. Maybe deeper for some. To find a path to the light. But at the same time, we're afraid. We're afraid to leave what we've come to know, what has become so comfortably familiar. But this is what brought God into our midst in the first place. Because God knew that we needed that extra push, that for us to walk the road from darkness to light, we needed someone to shepherd us, to show us the way. But like the people of His day, our expectations of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ Himself, are all out of whack. In the days of John the Baptist, people expected someone of great import, a king that they could understand, a military man with the skill to oust the Romans and make Israel greater even than it had been under the king known as David. What they got was Jesus, a man of seemingly no value in a society where class was key. He was a carpenter's son and came from Nazareth of all places. And as Nathanael says when he hears that the Messiah has come from Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, he doesn't say this to Jesus. He says this to Philip. And Philip, he doesn't respond by tearing down Nathanael. He doesn't offer some bitter retort. No, he says just what Jesus said. Come and see. Come and see if anything good can come from unlikely beginnings. Come and see if a man born to an ordinary life can change the world. In a very different and yet very similar way, we expect the Son of God to fix our problems for us. That if we give ourselves up to the one who knocks on the door, all the answers will come. But the truth is that the Christ that we see here in the opening verses of the Gospel of John is the same one that walks through the other three Gospels. And it is the same one who meets us today and in our everyday. He comes into our lives a beacon shining through the shroud of darkness that's fallen over us. But He does not lead us by the hand. He does not take us by the nose from darkness to light. Rather, He beckons to us. He calls to us. Come and see. Come and see what I have in store for you. Come and see what you are capable of when we work together. Come and see what lives in you that you haven't even discovered yet. Come and see, He says to us. To both groups, the disciples and followers like Nathanael, who initially mock Jesus' beginnings, and us today crying out for the cure-all, the fix-all, but a stay-the-same-all, Jesus says, greater things wait for us when we choose to follow Him. Greater things than coming from great standing to great standing. Greater things than the same old ordinary everyday. Greater things than these are what wait for us when we choose to follow a man from what we have known to what is unknown. Very truly, He says, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So amazing things, unbelievable things, impossible things. And yet things that will come to pass through the acts of this man who meets us on the road. And through the acts of those who follow Him. But as we learn today from the man who was called Simon, or from the former fishermen, the sons of Zebedee in other Gospels, when we choose to follow Christ, when we choose to open our eyes and see the amazing things that this man can do, the gifts that we've been given but have been hiding even from ourselves, we are transformed. When we open our eyes to that, when we open our hearts and minds to that, we are transformed, forever changed. So maybe in the end, when Christ turns on us and asks, "What are you looking for?" maybe we won't have an answer. Maybe we'll be just as stunned as those first disciples were. Because we're caught. We're caught gazing into the eyes of a man who gives us a glimpse of all that he will become, of all that we will become through him, and of the things that we'll have to sacrifice along the way to follow him fully. Maybe in that moment, we won't know what to say. Maybe in that moment, we won't have the heart to put foot in front of foot and follow this man that has walked into our lives. But whatever stumbles from our lips, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" whatever we offer in response, Christ offers that same invitation, that same invitation that gives our feet the strength to follow. "Come and see. Come and see." Amen.